Would you please just speak about the word abhyasa, or repeated practice, in reference to meditation?
Yes. See, abhyasa, the word comes from Sanskrit. Abhitaha aste, iti abhyasa. That is that which sits all around you completely, it is established in seat all around you, not only on one side. So that is abhyasa. There is repetition. When you repeat, whatever you repeat, it sits permanently all around you. Then, with reference to the spiritual practices, I will start with, in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna puts one very, very vital question, which is the question of one and all, even today. And the question is, O Lord Krishna, it is very difficult to control the mind, because in a second it goes wherever it wants. It goes to Maldives Islands, it goes to Timbuktu, it goes to India, it goes to Holland. God, it is very difficult to control it. So, how to control this mind which runs amok? And I don't think it is so easy to control it. What is the method? He says there are two methods. Both should be applied together. Abhyasena tu Kaunteya, Vairagyena tu Grihyate. Look here. The number one is abhyas. Repetition, repetition, repetition. I will come to that exactly. Abhyasena tu Kaunteya. Then the second one is Vairagya. Vairagya means to the withdrawal of the mind from all the objects of the world. That is, you like some objects, you love some objects, you dislike some objects, you hate some objects. Thus, to rid the mind of both that attachment as also that revulsion, the dislike, the hatred, both should go, and that's called Vairagya. Now, he is asking about the first part, the abhyasa. What happens is, we in India believe in the reincarnation, that is rebirth. So in the previous birth, we have done several things, and several things were repeated. Say for instance, some games being played, cricket being played in my TV, night and day. I've been doing it all the times in my previous births. So naturally, even as a child, the moment I see the cricket ball, I don't want it to be removed, I want to see that. So this conditioning was a repeated conditioning. So whatever you have been conditioned the previous birth, whatever you liked and whatever you disliked, and all these things, they have put some strong impressions on you. Now, how to get rid of those strong impressions? In other words, by repeating something, it is just like hypnotism or mesmerism. In the hypnotism, you give a pass and you repeat certain commands again and again. Hey, you are sleeping, your eyes are becoming heavy, your eyelids are drooping, you are sleeping, and the man begins to sleep. That repetition does the trick. It goes and sits all around there and begins to rule, and that controls the mind, and it says, mind, go around this only. So, if this conditioning has to be countered or negated, then there has to be an equal hypnotism, an equal repetition of what you want to achieve. So if you want to achieve the direct perception of the ultimate supreme being, the Lord or the Divine Mother, whatever you may consist of, then you have to consistently and continuously persistently. You have to go on doing that. Oh Lord, oh my dear Lord, oh my dear Lord, oh my dear Mother, oh Parmeshwari, oh Lord of all the universe. So you go on repeating it, repeating it, repeating it. Then these impressions go and sit on the top of the earlier conditioning. Those conditionings are completely being squashed. They are going down. They are not allowed to come up. And what comes up is only this, the Lord's name. To that extent, you have to hypnotize. When during sleep, somebody wakes you up suddenly, wake up by hearing, by taking the Lord's name. Oh Narayan, oh Lord of the universe, oh Govinda, oh Mother of the universe, oh Divine Mother, oh Mother of Compassion. Thus, every second, including in your sleep, dreams, in your subconscious mind, the mind is completely, completely soaked with, all around it is soaked with the name of the Lord and the memory of the Lord. And that is why this abhyasa or repetition is 100% necessary in order to give the counter suggestion or the counter hypnotism, so that the same thing will condition you again. It is to recondition you to the presence of the Lord, to the constant presence of the Lord. The Lord is ever present. But you have to manifest Him by invoking His presence. Otherwise, it remains unmanifest. It remains unknown. It does remain. But you are not aware of it. What is the use? When you are aware of it, it gives you an ecstasy. The purpose of our life is to have perennial happiness. And the perennial happiness can be obtained only through the Lord, through the Supreme Lord. He holds the key to the supermarket for happiness. Permanent happiness, perennial happiness, and the ineffable bliss. And that is why this abhyasa is required. Then there is another abhyasa which has been defined at a later stage. At a later stage, initially you start only by taking the Lord's name. But then, again the mind is a mischief maker. It plays. When you are trying to take the Lord's name, it takes you somewhere else. When you are trying to take the Jesus' name, it takes you to Allah. When you are trying to take the Allah's name, it takes you to Ram. The mind plays a lot. So, this abhyasa has been defined in a different way. That is, tat kirtanam, tat kathanam, parasparam, tat prabodhanam. This is called the Brahma abhyasa. That is, you go on talking about it. Whoever comes, my dear, do you know the purpose of our life? It is not to simply eat and leave. Go to the best of the restaurants, take every day, and then take your gin and soda, and play for a little while some tennis. No. This will take you down. It will take you down not in this birth, but birth and birth, because it creates a conditioning. So in order to counter that conditioning, you go on talking about Him. You go on hearing about Him. You go on singing songs, because sometimes, instead of thinking, when you sing a song with a tune, well, you are able to do it for a longer time. And tat kirtanam. Kirtanam means play it in a sort of a musical way. Play it as a melody. Play it as a song. The song is so beautiful. So, instead of simply saying, "Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord of the universe, protect me at all times. I am dependent on you. You are my sole refuge. You are my sole refuge. You are my sole refuge." So when you sing like this, automatically you love it better than pronouncing it in a prose form. This appeals to you better. So, tat kirtanam, tat kathanam, you go on talking about the Lord. Whoever comes to you, you say, "Look here, don't waste your time. Don't waste 1 minute of your time. We don't know when the Lord of death is going to snatches away from this world. So only when you are here, when you are a little conscious, you are a little awakened, that there is a God, there is a Supreme Being who will be able to help us by getting whose even a glimpse, our entire life could be saved. So, Tat Kathanam, Bhagavan talking about him, tells some stories of bhaktas, how they got benefited by concentrating on the Lord, by meditating on the Lord. Tat Kirtanam, Tat Kathanam, then Parasparam Tat Prabodhanam. See, there are two devotees. In the morning when you meet, don't talk about other things. Don't say, hey, what is the news today? Instead you ask him, my dear sir, have you this morning, have you told some praises of the Lord? Oh, mother dear, your mother is always dearer to us than our father. But here is a case, you are rolled in one, the two in one. You are the mother, you are the father, you are all, you are everything to me. So thus, you wake him up, otherwise he might have forgotten this morning. So then he is reminded, oh my Lord, this morning I have not taken Lord's name, Govinda, oh Lord, Lord Jesus. So he goes on taking the names of any Lord. You take anything, so long as you take it, thinking it is the name of the Supreme, that final Supreme Being who is the only truth, and where all his inflections. And then it doesn't matter by what name you call. Rose called by any name smells sweet, and God called by any name smells sweetest. So that is called Parasparam Tat Prabodhanam. You wake up mutually. You wake him up, he wakes you up. Then he asks, hey, you told that you are going to read some bhakta story, the story of some high devotees, how they had renunciation, how they had love for the Lord, how intense was their love. When once you read those things, how they had absolutely no care for anything in the world. They never bothered even about their own food. And they were, see, there's a story, there's a very beautiful story. There was a potter, and that potter, he was a great devotee of the Lord. Even when he was preparing from the mud, the pot, by shaping the mud and all that, he was always taking the Lord's name, Govinda, Narayana, O dear mother, O divine mother. He was always taking the name of the Lord. And when he was busy, and then he will be, after shaping them, and the oven will be running, a big oven, he will be putting them in order to make it mature. A mature pot, so he has to put it in the fire. Now what happened? One day, he was in absolute ecstasy. He was not aware of anything external about his body even. And automatically his hands were shaping the pots and feeding the oven with them. At that time, his wife had a small child, a lovely child, aged about 6 months old. It was only 6 months old, so that potter was going on taking the Lord's name, Govinda, Krishna, Hey Ram, Hey Ram. He was not even aware. His wife came and said, hey, look here, I had to go to the market, so please look after this child. That child was 2 months old. And she just put it by the side of the mud. He was not aware. He was telling Govinda, Govinda, and it was automatically he was taking the mud and then he was shaping them into the pot. He was not aware of this small child. A very delicate child, just born a month back or 2 months back. And he mixed it up with the mud, and with his hands he was completely squeezing it. He was not aware the entire blood was coming out, and then he made a pot of it, and then he fed it into the oven. My Lord. But then The lady of the house came within half an hour. Hey, where is my child? Where is our child? When she was shouting, she woke up. Narayan, what do you mean? What child? Hey, half an hour back I left it in your care. Where is it gone, my child? Then he found the pot. It was reddish in color. And there were pieces of bone and flesh. Oh my Lord. Lord, what have I done? My son, I have mixed it with the mud and automatically taking Lord's name, I have put it in the oven. Lord, how will I console my wife? I have nothing. I have no attachment to anything. But this poor lady, she will die. Then the Lord himself came and he carried in his hand that 1.5 months old child and he said, hey, don't worry, here is the child. And he gave it to him. That is how we should. Just like a scientist who is involved completely in his, he is not aware when he took his meals, he is not aware when he took his coffee. Only God only he knew. So that is how we should think of God. And that not only that constancy, your entire heart and soul should be in it. You shouldn't be aware of anything external. That is how we should think of God. And that not only that constancy, your entire heart and soul should be in it. You shouldn't be aware of anything external. You see, there is a story told of Madame Curie. In her case also, she was busy with an experiment for finding out that radium. Her husband came in with her child. The child again, it was about 1.5 months old. He put it on the table on one side. He said, hey, Curie, you just look after it for a little while. I am coming out. I am just going out and I will be coming shortly. Her mind was busy. She was just trying to find out the formula which will clinch the issue. So it is almost the last moment. At any time it could come. Her mind was not in it at all. And if you can look so concentratedly on something of no value at all, the things of the world, how much more you should think of the Lord, forgetting the external world, forgetting your body, forgetting everybody around, forgetting the entire environment, thinking of Him alone. That sort of one-mindedness, that love. How can the one-mindedness come unless you love your thing? You cannot concentrate on anything unless you love it strongly. So love, love is essential. And the love is the essence of devotion. Devotion is nothing but love. And so, again as I said, the abhyasa represents repetition of the name with love. Remember, if you do it simply automatically, Ram, 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 hey, take the cell phone, the cell phone is ringing, Ram, 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 hey, who is there on the phone, Ram, 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 what is the use? You should not know what is happening. You should not be aware of the cell phone. You should not be aware of the house. You should not be aware of the room. You should be aware of the Lord alone. And that, I think, is abhyasa. And by doing that abhyasa, again and again, that becomes the meditation. What is meditation? Then now you have to come to the definition of meditation. Meditation is not concentrating on any object at all. On the contrary, meditation is keeping at bay all the objects of the world. Remove the world and that is the object of meditation. Take away the world. Let not a single thought of the world, your house, your wife, your son, your wife, your husband, your office, and your money, your shares, nothing at all. And your body, and the body of your son, nothing. My wife may be lying in cancer. My son may be having hemophilia and he is to be given transfusion of blood. I am not aware. I know only the Lord. So that is very, very essential. So it requires two things, that abhyasa. Without it is of no use. One is faith that this, that has been told in the scriptures, and my guru has told, it has to be true. So if I repeat it enough, and if I constantly think of him alone, positively he will come before me. I can see him. I will have the presence of the Lord, and the presence of the Lord will not disappear. That which appears and disappears cannot be the Lord. That which remains permanent forever, that has to be the Lord. So by going on repeatedly practicing, which ends in the meditation, the meditation means completely leaving off the entire world, that itself is sufficient meditation. Just later on, if you continue to say your mantra, Sri Ram, Sri Ram, Sri Ram, or whatever it is, well, that is better. If not, there are only two things, the God and the world. When you are not in the world, you have to be with God. When you are not with God, you have to be in the world. So naturally, when you have done away with the entire the world, all the objects of the world will have gone away from you, then where are you? You are in the lap of the Lord. You have only to realize this presence. That's all. And it automatically comes. You can live in the presence of the Lord. See, there was once a famous cook in a monastery. His name was Lawrence. He was an ordinary cook. He had terrific faith in the Lord and he had intense love for the Lord. These are the only two qualifications he had. Otherwise, he was an illiterate practically like. And his devotion was so much. He was not aware what he was cooking. But everything will be divine in his taste by itself. He is not aware what he did every day. He was always talking with the Lord. He was feeling him. He is with him and he's talking to him. Lord, how long will you keep me here? Will not there be a time when I can't do anything except in your name, taking your name? How long are you going to keep me engaged? This is also your work. I do it also with love. I do it with the maximum efficiency. But Lord, will not be better when a day comes when I have nothing, I have no other work to do except to take your name, except to think of you. So he was talking to the Lord and Lord was talking to him. Lawrence, you have yet some work to do. I have a mission for you. You will finish it and then you will be always with me. Don't worry. Whatever you desire will come true. But be patient. Be patient. Because, you see, by doing all these things, when will you get, how long will it take? There is no time limit. You cannot say. It all depends how much on this line of spirituality you have done in your earlier birth, how much love you have developed in your previous birth, how much faith you had developed in your previous birth, then very quickly, even within an instant, you can get it. But we are not aware of our bank balance of the previous births. So naturally, we only guess what should be our status only from this birth. We are not aware of the bank balance waiting, the immense bank balance perhaps which is waiting for us. So for those people, it will take no time. Within a day, within a month, within a year, you can get the Lord's. Lawrence was one. He never perhaps did, I've not heard anywhere of any big sadhana he did, excepting, as I said, absolute deepest faith in the Lord, unshakable faith in the Lord. The second is an intense love for the Lord. That's all. An intense love, what sort of love it is? A love where there is a lover and the beloved, it is not love at all. Where ultimately both become one, you are one with him, there is no beloved apart from you. You are the beloved, you are the lover. That is the stage. There is a stage, you become one with the Lord. Lord, I don't want one inch of separation from you. I don't want 1 minute of separation from you. That is the stage where you are always with Him. You are at all places with Him. You never part with Him for 1 moment. You don't like your lids to bat even, because while it is batting, you don't see Him. I don't want it. Let my eyes be always staring so that you will be always with me. So, that is the ultimate stage. And people didn't know His glory, the glory of that cook. One day he was cooking for, in very big vessels he took, and was cooking for 80 people. The abbot of that church, he was horrified. Hey, have you become mad? We are only 5 people here. You are today doing for 80 people. Sir, today 80 people, including the chief cardinals, 10 cardinals from Rome, they are coming here by 12 o'clock. Hey, what are you talking? If they are to come, they would have already intimated me. Demons say they will come suddenly. Sir, believe me, they are coming. Look here. In case they don't come, till this food is exhausted, 20 days, 30 days, you will eat the entire food. You will not be given any other food. Understood? Yes, sir. Exactly at 12 o'clock, 80 people came, including the 10 cardinals. The abbot was shocked. The cardinals told him, have you not received the cable which I have sent more than 10 days back? Unfortunately, it never came. And the Pope came to know of him. He wanted to make him an abbot. He said, sir, please, now I have got the most beautiful chance of feeding so many bhaktas, so many devotees. Please don't deprive me of this beautiful opportunity of feeding so many bhaktas, and don't put me somewhere as an abbot and all that. I am unfit for it. I will continue as a cook, sir. This is what happened. So, like that, we will begin to have the continuous presence of the Lord. He is. The electricity is there in that, the entire this thing. But it's not manifest. It is of no use to me. This is of use to me. That is of use to me. But not that. So how to make it use? Make it come out. Make it come out. Make it manifest. How? You call the mechanic. He will come. He will make a point. Anywhere he can make 100 points, 1,000 points. Everywhere it is full. So, Lawrence made 1 point, out of which the Lord came and was talking to him at all times. And Vivekananda, he had several times mentioned about this. There's a book called Letters from Letter Lawrence. Some lady, his cousin or somebody, one lady in some other convent, he used to write to her several letters. It's a small book, but a wonderful book. That how to practice the presence of the Lord, or the letters of Brother Lawrence. It's a wonderful book. I used to purchase it for 1 rupee. Some 5 years back, they sold its cost is 100 rupees. A small book containing 40 pages. That's all. So coming to the point, meditation and abhyasa are closely linked. Only by doing constantly this meditation, you can remove the world. And removing the world is the purpose of the entire meditation. The purpose of meditation is to concentrate on the Lord. You cannot concentrate on the Lord till such time as the last vestige of your attachment or your hatred for any of the items, your likes and dislikes, unless they disappear thoroughly without a trace, you cannot get the Lord. Because they cannot live at the same place. Only the Lord alone can remind. So you have to remove them. When you give your heart and soul to the Lord, there is no place, the rest have to come out. All your worldliness has to come out. All your anger, all your, they are all forgotten. Your desires for these objects alone, they were the main reason for all your miseries and all that. If only the desires are gone, which the meditation does, And the meditation becomes proper only with this abhyasa, repeated, repeated, repeated names of the Lord being taken repeatedly. Well, this is the only way to... I mean, that's not the only way. The Lord is infinite, the paths are infinite, but this is one of the easiest way, perhaps, I would say, instead of doing pranayama, instead of doing ever so many exercises and all that, this is perhaps the easiest. You think of Him, constantly think of Him. Whenever the mind goes, bring it back. Whenever the mind goes, bring it back. You see, a lady with a small child is attending my satsang. There are 50 people. The child is going out because the door is open and is about to fall down. This lady's one eye is there and one eye is on the satsang. The moment it goes near, she runs, brings the child here. And again the child goes, she will again go. 100 times the child goes, 100 times she brings. On the contrary, if she has used the force or given it one slap, the entire satsang would have been spoiled by the shrieking of the child. So naturally she would dare to do it. And the same way we will have to do it, every time the mind goes, it's a small child, you go and bring it back. Every time you bring it back, this is abhyasa. That's all. This is also told in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is also a wonderful book. It contains all the tips required. And to take away your attractions for the world, number one is, filled up with the Lord, filled up with the Lord at all places, all around, and make it stand there. That is abhitaha aste. Aste means it remains established abhitaha on all sides. There is no side where from any worldliness can come in. All the portions are completely fenced around by the name of the Lord. You see, this is a beautiful anecdote in Ramayana. Rama lost his wife, the wife was taken away by the great demon, the Rakshasa known as Ravana. He has kidnapped her away. And he didn't know who has taken her. He's not aware. So he gets into friendship with some monkey kings who were in exile. The monkey king had a very intelligent minister who was known as Hanuman. He was a monkey of immense might and very, very intelligent. And that Hanuman is being sent to the south because they feel it could be from the south, Lanka only, somebody might have come, just an inkling. So, the people were all dispatched to various places, but Hanuman was specially sent over there. Hanuman went there, somehow because of his powers, he was able to enter into Lanka as a small mosquito-like, and then he sees Sita being surrounded, his wife being surrounded by various demonesses. And they all threaten her that, look here, you concede to the wishes of Ravan, then you will be the queen. Otherwise, you will become our breakfast because you are so thin, you are not even a full breakfast for us. They are threatening her. And Hanuman came with a message back to Rama to tell about. When he comes, when he tells, Sita is always pining, Ram, Ram, Ram. Consistently abhyas, she is telling only Ram's name. Then Rama puts a question, hey, by the time we collect our army of monkeys and we go by walk all the way to the Lanka, and Lanka is on the other side of the ocean, we have all to cross the ocean and go and then fight. And you are saying already, Sita is pining for me, she is not taking meals. She may die by the time I go. Then all of our efforts will become useless. Hanuman laughs. He says, "Sir, it is impossible. Her vital breath will never be allowed to go out of her body. We have put enough gods." "How?" He says, "Nama pakaru divasanisi ramatumar kapat." Then, lochana nichapada yantrita prana jahi kahi bat. Look here. Her prana, her vital breath, there is no hole through which it can escape. They are all being guarded. How it is guarded? This mouth is one of the greatest of things. It can get out. No. Nama pakaru divasanisi. Night and day, she is taking your name, and that is the watchman. It will not allow it to get out. Then, and this is another one through which it can go. No. Lochana nijapada yantrita. Her eyes have been chained to your holy feet. She is always visualizing your feet, and it is all chained. So when it is, your feet are there to look after that, it will not allow it to go. Which is the way by which the prana can escape. Prana jahi kahi baat. There is no other way. So, similarly, in the same way, we should take the Lord's name at all times. And repeatedly, it has to be taken so that a complete reconditioning over the old conditioning, the old conditionings will be squeezed to death to that extent. And that is why the repetition is necessary. Hari Om.